great to have Brother Michael Mayo with us today, teaching in the Bible class, talking about the work in Thailand. I want to get a little bit more introduction. I asked Michael about the introduction, some things I'd written down. He said the shorter the better. I try not to make it too long. But he and his wife, Lou, and their children have served the Lord and as missionaries in Thailand for nearly 13 years. They live in the city of Chiang Mai. I mentioned the map on the front of the bulletin. If you look at that, it's a country of Thailand. It's between Laos and it used to be called Burma. Now it's Myanmar. And where they live, I think it's about 400 miles, maybe 10 hours from Bangkok. And Bangkok, for those of us who don't know much about Southeast Asia, is usually something we recognize. And for you, those of you who may have served in Southeast Asia, you'll see it relative to Vietnam as well. All three of their children have now completed college and are working in Thailand. Miles is 29, Shay is 27, Rebecca is 25. The entire family is fluent in Thai language. His wife, Lou, instructs English at their house during the daytime. She does it with professional people. You see people from the medical profession and a colonel in the army and bankers. And then in the evening, she teaches English to younger children. Prior to going to Thailand, Michael preached in St. Albans, West Virginia for 10 years. And during that time, many of us become well acquainted with he and his good family. He was in Corpus Christi for 3 years and in Australia for 5 years. Michael came to the United States on this visit at the end of August, came into Los Angeles where his father had preached some in the past. And Michael had gone there to lead singing for him when he was young, quite a bit younger. He worked his way across the United States. His parents are now in Loving, Texas. His mother has dementia, Alzheimer, and his father is 86. They've returned from their work in Australia to be there. Michael will be leaving tonight, as he mentioned in the Bible class, to go to Texas. Has to be there tomorrow night and leave later this week to go back to Thailand, as being in the United States probably for nearly 7 weeks. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to check the display that Michael has. There's a table of things under the track rack. And there's items there that you can take, the smaller items, the coins and so forth, or for anyone would like to take those. The motto he mentioned, or standard he said in class, I've emailed him before to ask him what that was so I could remember it, but it says, see a need, meet the need, even if it costs you something. And that is a great pattern to live our life by as a Christian. Now, Brother Michael Mayo.
Do you ever want to do something great for the Lord? Sometimes we look through the pages of history in the Bible and we see great men doing great things and great women doing great things. We think about Noah, who spent 100 years building an ark to the saving of his household. We think about Moses leading God's people out of the Egyptian captivity. Think of Joshua leading God's people into the promised land. We think about men like Gideon, who defeated mighty armies like the Midianites, who he defeated, who had an army so great it couldn't be counted. The scripture says that he defeated the Midianites as one man. We think of these great things and sometimes think, boy, I wish I could do something great for the Lord. But sometimes I think we use that as an excuse. Well, I can't do something great, and what I can do is not that important, so I just don't do anything. I've heard people say over the years, you know, if I had $1 million, and my thought in my mind is, well, but you don't, and you probably never will, what do you do with what you have? You see, that's what we need to be thinking about. What do we do? Not what can we not do. I can't do this great thing, so I don't do anything. There's an interesting passage in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. It says, for who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? I think sometimes we have. You see, God doesn't ask us to do great things. He asks us to be great by doing what we can do. You see, that's what makes us great. When we do what we can for the Lord, that is greatness. And so this morning we're going to be looking about at some people that I think are great in the scriptures. Some people that did some absolutely great things, and yet they're people we don't talk about too often. The first one I would like us to notice this morning is Andrew. Now, what do you know about Andrew? Well, we know he was Peter's brother. And, well, we know that he was an apostle. And that's about it. But there is one other thing we do know about Andrew. And if you open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 40 says this. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Oh, excuse me, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That's even interesting. When it mentions Andrew, it has to explain to us who Andrew is. You know, Simon Peter's brother. Go on to verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. You know why Andrew was great? He brought his brother to Christ. Now, what did Peter do? Well, we know the pages of Scripture are filled with things that Peter did. The question I have for you this morning is, what if Andrew hadn't brought Peter to Christ? What would be missing from the history of the Bible? And yet, you see, Andrew did what he could do. Oh, he might not have done as much as his older brother Peter did, but the fact is, he brought his brother to Christ. That's great. You see, God doesn't ask us to do great things. He asks us to be great by doing what we can do. Andrew might not have been the leader of men that his brother was. He might not have been the leader of men that Moses or Joshua or even Gideon was. But he brought his brother to Christ. We have found the Messiah. Come and see. You see, that's great. The next person I'd like us to look at this morning is found in Acts chapter 9. You're familiar with the person we're about to talk about. Her name is Tabitha, or by interpretation, Dorcas. We're going to begin reading together in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which being interpreted is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom, when they had washed and laid her in the upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went to them. And when he came, he brought them into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Now then, the question I have to ask about Dorcas is this. Do you think that she thought she was a great person doing great things? I would suggest from the text of this scripture that she was a very humble person. And the last thing she would have thought about herself was that she was great or that she was doing great things. But I'll tell you what, the disciples, the widows, thought she did great things. When she passed away, they sent for Peter, and Peter came, and they said, look what Dorcas had done for us. She made us these clothes. You know what made Dorcas great? She did what she could. Evidently, she had skill as a seamstress, and so she used that, and she helped others to the point that they mourned at her death at the great loss of this great lady. Now, I don't believe if you ask Dorcas, are you a great lady? I believe she would probably be the last person in the world to say, well, yes, I do great things. I believe she thought she did probably very little, but she did what she could. And that's what made Dorcas great. She did what she could do. She used the ability that she had, and she used it to God's glory. That's greatness. Brethren, God doesn't ask us to do one great act. He asks us to be great by doing what we can do, by using our abilities, by using our skills to give him glory. The last person I want to use as an example this morning is found in the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 12, we'll begin reading together in verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto him, to them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, first thing we see is Jesus is watching as people give. And he called the apostles. He said, come here. I want to show you something great. Now then, I'm sure the apostles said, we saw those people were giving much. And Jesus said, well, yeah, they had much, they gave much, they kept much, and that's not much. What I want to do is show you something great. This lady in her need cast in all that she had. Have you ever been like the great widow in this passage, given all? Sometimes we sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Have you ever done that? I haven't. She was a great, she gave all she had. That's great. Now, I wonder if you asked this poor widow before and after she cast in her 2 mites, are you a great person? I'm sure she would have said no. If you'd asked those round about her, probably even the apostles, you think that widow is a great person? They probably would have said no, but God doesn't look on us as we look on one another. Jesus said, I want you to see this great lady. She put all of her trust in God. She gave her all. That's great. You see, God doesn't ask us to do something great. He asks us to be great by doing what we can do. And that poor widow did what she could do. We might say, well, these things aren't that much, are they? Andrew invited his brother to come see Jesus. Dorcas made clothes and gave them to people. Poor widow had 2 mites. She gave it to God. From a human's perspective, none of those things are any too great. But from God's perspective, all of those things are great. Because the people were doing what they could do and giving glory to God. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whosoever shall do a great thing shall not lose his reward. Nope, that's not what it says. The text of Scripture says, For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. A great thing. Now my point this morning is, there are things that all of us can do. And we need to do them. And when we do them, that is great. God counts the things that we do, that we are able to do, as greatness. What can you do for Jesus? I believe that there are things that all of us can do. And I just want to list a few of them for you to think about. I believe all of us can attend every service. Granted, there might be exceptions when we're sick and things like that. I understand that, but we can attend every service. That's a great thing. Why? Anytime we can gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a great thing. Excuse me. Worship is designed for us. I know we're worshiping God, but worship is designed for our benefit. We are built up. We are edified. We are encouraged when we come to worship. Now, what happens if I don't come to worship? Well, number one, I'm not encouraged. And number two, I can't encourage someone else. Now, I have to ask, how many of you need encouragement? I know I need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And so we need to come to get the encouragement that we need and come to give the encouragement that others need. That's something we can do. You'll have to excuse me. I'm not used to being in air-conditioned buildings, and I've been in air-conditioned buildings for the last 7 weeks. And it's sort of played havoc with my sinuses. Another thing we can do is we can pray for one another. How often do you pray for one another? I talked a little bit in Bible class this morning about the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. How often do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? When I was over in West Virginia, I would take my church directory and I would sit at my desk and I would pray my directory, if you will. I would start with the first name and I would pray for everybody in the congregation. Thank you very much. Excuse me. I would pray for each person. Now, what did that do? Number one, it helped me to think about each person in the congregation. Number two, it would give me an opportunity to pray for some need they might have. Number three, I was able to lift them before the throne of God. And we know that God is powerful in helping us. Did you know it is hard to complain about people you're praying for? It is hard to gossip about people you're praying for. Brethren, we need to pray for one another. That's something we can do. I still pray for all the members of the congregation there in Thailand. We don't have a directory, but I take time to pray for each one individually. And brethren, we need to pray for one another because we all need prayers. And so we need to be praying one for another. Another thing we can do is we can read our Bible every day. I believe we need to study our Bible, and there is a difference, but we can at least read our Bible every day. Oh, preacher, I don't have time to read the Bible. Any of you watch a ball game yesterday? I did. I love football. But my point is, we make time for what we want to do. And brethren, we should want to know God's word. Brethren, another thing we can do is we can encourage one another. Do you need to be encouraged? I need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be the family that God would have us to be. sometimes we're barely acquaintances. Oh, we see on Sunday morning, we say hello, we leave. I'll tell you something about my family. I can tell when any of my children is happy. I can tell when they're sad. I can tell when they're sick just by looking at them. You know why? Because I've been around them so much. We have a connection. We have a relationship with one another. Sometimes people fall away from the church and we don't even know for months that they're gone. Brethren, these things should never be. We need to encourage one another. That's what the Hebrew writer said. We need to encourage one another while it is called today. Don't you love the Bible? Is there ever a time that's not today? No. It is always today. And so we need to be encouraging one another all the time. While it is called today. Do you know it's never yesterday and it's never tomorrow? It is always today. When we were living at St. Albans, my second son was singing some song. I can't even remember what it was, but he was singing it over and over and over and over and over and over. And I said, Shay, enough. Don't sing that anymore today. You can sing it tomorrow. The next day he starts singing. I said, wait a second. Is it today or is it tomorrow? You get my point. It's always today. And so we need to be encouraging one another continually. Today we need to be encouraging one another every day. I think this is really why the church was so strong in the first century. They did everything together. Daily. We need some more daily. Brethren, we need some more daily in our Christian lives. We need to know each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. Here's another thing you can do. You can invite people to worship. Now, here's the way I believe is the very best way to invite somebody to worship. Hey, would you come to worship with me next Sunday morning? Afterwards, I'll take you out to eat. Everybody loves to eat. They'll sit through worship to go out to eat. But you think about it. If they come and they sit, they will have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is what has the ability to change their lives. We can all invite someone to come. I was told a story one time by a man. He said, you know, I worked with a man for 25 years. And he said, every Sunday, or every week for 25 years, he asked me to go to worship with him on Sunday. And every week for 25 years, I told him no. 25 years, you stop and think about that. Every week for 25 years, this man asked him to come to worship with him. And he said no. After they both retired, he started thinking, why in the world did that man invite me every week for 25 years to go to worship with him when every week for 25 years I said no? There might be something to what he's talking about. And so he went to worship. And then he went again. And then he went again. And then he became a Christian. And he said to me, if he had asked me once, and then never ask me again, I wouldn't be a Christian today. Brethren, we can invite people to worship. Our responsibility is to give people an opportunity. It's their responsibility to accept or reject. But our responsibility is to give people an opportunity to the life that they can have in Christ. Brethren, let us be great by doing what we can do. I know this is a small list of things, but there are many things that I'm sure that you can think of that we can do. Let us do what we can for the Lord, because when we all do what we can do, great things will happen for the Lord. This morning, if you are a Christian, I want you to determine in your mind that from this day forth, you will do all you can for the Lord. If we all do what we can do, think about how much can be done for Christ and his kingdom. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church. If you're not, I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only son to die on the cross so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a new life, so that you can go to be with him in heaven. God's plan is simple, but it's powerful. If we will but follow it, we will have life and life eternal. You remember in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 was the very beginning of the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, as Peter preached, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there was added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Peter's message needs to be preached today. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Brethren, we look around us and there's wickedness on every hand. But salvation is also available. The people on the day of Pentecost, they believed that Jesus was the Christ. How do I know? Because Peter said, "You killed the Christ." Now, if they didn't believe what he said, they would have just gone home. But the text of Scripture said they were pricked in their hearts. They realized that they had done the very thing that Peter said. They had killed God's Son. They had killed the Christ. They knew they had done the sin, and they needed to know how to be forgiven. What shall we do? Peter said, repent. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of action. It's changing our lives to match God's will. He said, you need to change your life to match God's will, and you need to be baptized. Why? For the remission of sins, to have your sins removed. The gospel of Christ is just as powerful today as it was on that day. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to confess that before those who are gathered here today, if with a penitent heart you're baptized into Christ, God will remove your sins and give you a new life. He will add you to his church, his family. These beautiful people around you will be your brothers and sisters in Christ, who will love you, who will help you, who will encourage you, who will build you up so that you can work together now and so that you can live together throughout all eternity. If you have a need today, if we can help you in any way, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound his word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive the sinful man, made to new. Trust. Make the man sing clear.